here. Appreciate the presence of the Lord in the service. That's all I live for. I can be where the presence of the Lord is. Well, that's where I like to live. I can be completely contented, completely satisfied. Don't have to have any special entertainment or don't have to be treated any special way. Just I can just feel the presence of the Lord. That satisfies me. I said before that some things are all right, but a lot of emphasis put on recreation and entertainment and all those kind of things this day we're living in today. Some of those things are not anything really wrong with them. And sometimes maybe we even need a little break. But I find in the Lord something that satisfies.
Yes. Amen.
In other words, I can do those things, but I don't have to have them. I don't have to have them. Things that people are striving for and looking for, and big homes, and all these kind of things, and fine cars, and bank accounts, and boats, and summer homes, and winter homes. And, that's what the world is striving for. Some of those things might be all right, use them in their place, but I don't have to have them.
Amen.
We don't have to have them to have peace of mind. We don't have to have them to be contented. And we don't have to have them to entertain us. I believe that the Lord is able to satisfy. I believe the scripture says one place that he satisfies the longing soul. Our song we sang a lot, or I like to sing, one of my favorite songs, I found it, Lord, in thee, an everlasting store. So I'm glad that there is something yet. I thought about the children down in Israel, reading about them there. They are so agog, and how they would, Lord would bless them, and they'd go right back out and get in trouble, and Lord, he'd have mercy on them again. Well, those people, they couldn't help what they were doing sometimes. There was no remedy for sin. They tried to keep the commandments sometime, but they always come up short. And because they had sin in their heart and there'd been no provision made to get rid of it. But I think it seemed like a lot of people today seem to kind of act like we're still living in that time.
That's so.
That there's no way out, no help. But there is help this morning. We're not living in those times.
Amen.
We're living in the day the blood has been shed and the Holy Ghost has been given. And so we don't have to live in a wilderness no more.
Amen.
We don't have to be up and down no more. We don't have to be backslid one week and back again the next week. Don't have to do that.
Amen.
God is, Jesus has shed his blood, and God has sent the Holy Ghost to enable us that we can be more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
He would grant unto us. Swore by himself. Got a hold of a little thought a while ago, or a while back. Somebody asked me what that scripture meant over there about two immutable things. Two immutable things. So what's that mean? Well, I had to confess, we had to get in the Bible study a little bit out. We come up with the idea that those two immutable things is the oath that he swore, that God swore to himself, and the promises that he made.
Yes.
Those are the two immutable things. He swore by an oath, and then those promises cannot be broken.
Amen.
Impossible for God to lie. Impossible for a promise of God to fail. Impossible. Those are immutable, two immutable things. His oath and his promise. Those are the two immutable things he spoke about there in Hebrews up through 5. So we can stand on the promises of God.
Yes.
We can stand on them. Don't have to waver. Don't have to wonder if they're going to work. Don't have to wonder how it's going to come out. The Bible said that we know that it'll be well with the righteous. We know it. No matter how we live, what other people do. No matter how bad the world gets. No matter how people conduct themselves. No matter what they believe. What they preach. We know it'll be well with the righteous.
Amen.
It's just all we got to do is live righteous. Just live righteous and it'll be well. It'll come out right. But with the wicked it won't be so. Well, thank the Lord this morning. I want to talk a little bit this morning about something to stand on. Something to stand on. If there ever was a time that we need something to stand on, it must be this day we're living in. We're living in I believe the Bible refers to it one place as a shaking time. Not only the earth, but the heavens also.
Yes.
I take that scripture to mean that the earth is being shaken with all God's shaking the earth. Then I take it also he's shaken right where you and I live too.
Yes.
Right among the saints, right among the camp, right among the body. He's shaking. There's shaking going on. There's a pruning taking place.
Yes.
There's God cutting some things off. What he say? To preserve her pure and spotless, he must make a sacrifice. So God's going to keep his church pure.
Amen.
It was pure in the beginning and it's pure now.
Amen.
It always will be pure. He not only purchased it, it was not purchased with silver and gold, but precious blood of the Lamb without spot. It was pure in the beginning, and it's been pure all the way through, and it'll be pure when he comes back after.
Yes.
And to keep it that way, sometimes the Lord has to make a sacrifice. Has to sacrifice people. Now God sacrifices people.
Yes.
Sometime or another to keep his bride pure. And you and I that are living in this shaking time, we need something to stand on.
Yes.
We need to get a hold of something to stand on.
Yes, Lord, help.
And I believe the brother was bringing out last night, we're still just preaching the same message, sound to me like all week.
Yes.
The brother talked about getting a hold of something last night.
Yes.
So the Lord, I don't know, we came out with this burden. It'll go here, but anywhere.
Yes.
But I believe the Lord is trying to help his people, trying to help his saints.
Yes.
Get a hold of something or another.
Yes.
Get a hold of something. Hang on, something you can stand on.
Yes.
Something you can depend on.
Yes.
Something you can rely upon.
Yes.
Personally, get a hold of something personal. A lot of that in this meeting. Getting a hold of something for my very self. Something I can stand on.
Yes.
Others falling all around me. I'm still standing.
Yes.
Others getting carried away with the world. I'm still standing.
Yes.
Others drifting away, taking on things that they used to didn't tell to do.
Yes.
People can't get along together. Well, people crossed up and falling out with one another and separating and pulling off and running away. You and I can still stand.
Amen.
Need something to stand on. stand on something or another. Got to have something or another. Got to have something to stand. I got to have something. I can't rely. I can't rely on other folks. Well, I think we may have another message along that line, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But anyway, we need something personally. Personally to stand upon. When all is going down around us. When all is falling apart. Look like the whole thing's going to fall apart. I need something personally I can stand on. Something to stand on. 69 Psalm, it said here, save me, O God. David said, for the waters are coming to my soul. Waters are flooding now. Living in a flooding time.
Yes.
The waters in the Bible many times mean troubles.
Yes.
When you go through the water, he said, they won't overflow us.
Amen.
But he said, for the waters are come up unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am coming into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Got to have something to stand on. When you feel yourself going down, mar is something like quicksand. It draws you. A lot of things in the world today to draw you and I away from God. Draw you away from the stand that you've taken in your own life. A lot of things are being enticing things. Devil's always coming up with something to entice you and draw you.
Yes.
And you know they say about quicksand, you get in that and the more you joggle around, the more it pulls you down.
Yeah.
And they say you never get in there with them.
No.
You see somebody in quicksand, you never go out there and try to pull them out. But you get out here on dry land. Something solid, some solid earth here, and then throw them out of line somewhere or another. Throw something out for them to get a hold of, then you can pull them back in. But don't you get in there yourself. Because if you get in that mire, you get in that sand, that drawing, it has a sucking motion that pulls you down and pulls you away. But you and I, we can't afford to dabble in those kind of things.
Amen.
Things that are drawing people away from God.
Lord.
Things that are drawing people towards the world. Oh, there's a great drawing away. Power. Just kind of seem like people are just hypnotized almost today. They're just so involved. The world's got such a hold upon them. That they seem like they just kind of caught in something they can't get away.
Yes.
Well, you and I this morning, we got to have something solid to stand on. Some get out on some good solid ground back here. Then we can throw them out of rope here. What about throw out the lifeline? The Bible something says. Song says, throwing out the lifeline. Can't get in there with you. I'm not going to get right in there with you. I'm going to stand out here on a good solid foundation. Then I'll reach out a helping hand to you.
Amen.
If I can. But I won't get in there with you. I won't partake of it. Oh, I know we get pretty close to sin sometimes, and we get involved with people's problems and things that go on and troubles that arise. Well, we can pray and we can reach a helping hand, but we don't want to get involved in the thing.
Yes.
If we get involved in it, we'll be drawn away too.
Yes.
Something to stand on.
Yes.
Solid. Something I can depend on. May the Lord help us this morning. Got a hold of a little scripture back here in the book of Judges, 12th chapter. It said, when the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon? Did not call us to go with thee. We will burn thy house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were in great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hand. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hand. Depended on something. Here, I was depending on something another that when I needed it, it wasn't there.
Yes.
It wasn't there. You and I need something another to stand on. We gotta know where we're at. We gotta know how we stand. We gotta know where we're at with God. I gotta know I'm saved. That's the first thing. I gotta know I'm saved. Can't depend on this. Well, I went to the altar. I feel a little better, but I know that I've passed from life to death.
Right.
Gotta have an experience.
Yes.
Something that we know about.
Yes.
Gotta know where I'm standing.
Yes.
Gotta know that I'm saved. Devil, you can say all you want to, but I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm saved. Gotta know that. For my own personal self, got to be able to stand in there. And saw a while back, we got to stand toe to toe with the devil. Got to look him right in the eye. Devil, I know I went to the altar. I repented of my sins, and the Lord forgave me, and I am saved. I am saved. And I can lift my hand without wrath or doubt. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't, I'm sure you already know, if we don't know where we stand, if we don't have a something that we can stand upon and look the devil in the eye, we're going to have a hard time. We're going to have, the devil is going to wool us all around. And we're going to be cast down. We're going to be doubting. We had some thoughts on that during the meeting about doubting and unbelief.
Yeah.
We're going to be wondering, am I really saved? Where am I at with the Lord? Oh, I don't know exactly where I stand. I'm going to tell you, the devil is going to harass you with that kind of experience. Got to have an experience that we know, I can know where I'm standing with God. Something to stand on.
Amen.
Gotta have something to stand on. Toe to toe with the devil. Look it right in the eye. I'm saved. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I stayed there till the work was done. And I got up. I was a new creature. Old things passed away.
Yes.
I know I was saved. That's one thing the devil never challenged me on. I know I got saved. I know I got saved. Oh, it's been a foundation.
Yes.
I believe right here where we need to lay the foundation.
Yes.
Is our very beginning with the Lord. We need to lay a good, sure, solid, experienced relationship with God.
Yes.
And we can look the devil in the eye.
Yes.
And we can say, devil, you're a liar.
Amen.
I'm saved. I'm saved. We need a good something to stand on. And this man here, he was depending on somebody else. I thought you were going to come and help me. You told me when I got in a battle, you'd come and help me. But when I needed you, you didn't even show up.
Yes.
So I'm taking the things in my own hand. Taking it in my own hand. Can't depend on somebody else's experience now. Can't depend on what mama had or what grandma had or what somebody, old minister had or somebody the old time saints had. Can't depend on that. Gotta have something myself. Gotta have something myself. Something to stand on. We need it. We need it. We must have it. We must have some pure, clear, definite things stand upon. And all we've got to know that we've been filled with the Holy Ghost too.
Yes.
We've got to have that experience. We've got to have it. If we don't have a definite experience of sanctification working in our hearts and lives, we're still living in the wilderness.
That's true.
We're still living in the wilderness. We're still wondering. But all the plan of God is not just to be saved, but to be sanctified holy. God had power, Jesus had power to forgive sin before he even died. He didn't have to die to forgive our sins. But he had to die and shed his blood to get rid of the sin.
Amen.
To get rid of sin out of our lives. That's where that blood was shed for. Not only to be saved, but for the very thing that caused the sin to be purged out.
Yes.
That's full salvation. That's full salvation. Got to be able to stand and say, "Devil, I'm saved. And I'm sanctified."
Amen.
Sanctified. Got to have something. One old brother used to say people sometime would get up and testify, "I'm saved and sanctified." They just couldn't hardly get that second one out. Wouldn't hardly come out. Oh, we got to have more than that. Got to have more than that.
That's true.
See, being saved and sanctified is God's plan of redemption for the souls of man. He didn't say, just get saved and then if you decide later on, well, go on, consecrate your life to God and be sanctified. He didn't say that. It's two definite works in the heart, but it's one plan of God.
Yeah, that's so.
For the redemption of the soul that you and I can be standing on. Got to have something to stand on. And that's a personal relationship with God. Never going to be able to victory. Never going to grow. Never going to prosper. Never going to be that spiritual giant that the Lord wants us all to be. Until we are settled. Forgetting those things in the past, you say.
Amen.
Of laying on of hands and of baptism. God wants you and I to get this thing settled. Settled in our heart. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm baptized.
Yes.
And I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm growing day by day. I'm reading His Word. I'm feeding my soul. I'm testifying for God. And I'm maturing day by day by day. Forgetting those things that are in the past. God wants you and I to get a hold of something or another that we can stand on.
Amen.
Going to have it, folks. This is a shaking time. Things ain't like they used to be.
Amen.
The world ain't like it used to be. It ain't like it used to be around the camp of the saints. There's more confusion around the camp now than it used to be.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
They are. I remember 35 years ago when I came around the saints, it was different.
Yes.
It was different. Saints ain't no different. They're still just the same as they always was. But everybody that says they're a saint ain't saints. And you look at the congregation, if you look at that congregation of some any size, you look at that congregation and you say, that's the church. You're going to get a blurry vision sometimes.
Yes.
There's people sitting around on front seats and getting in pulpits and things. Sometimes they ain't even saved.
That's true.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord help us here.
Amen.
He like it used to be.
Yes.
Evil seducers shall wax worse and worse.
Yes.
Deceiving and being deceived.
Yes.
You and I are in the last days. We're in the time of not. We're not in the time of the way it was in the day of Noah. We've passed that time. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in Noah's time. But then he went on to say, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man. Now we're living in Lot's time. See it all around us, don't you? Perverted world.
Yes.
Everything's so perverted.
Yes.
Brother Taylor and I just talked a while ago, even the government, the system, it's all perverted.
Yes.
Got people up there trying to run our country that's just out of touch with reality.
Yes.
don't know what it means for something to be sound and pure and holy and steadfast and immovable. Don't know anything about that. No absolutes at all. Everything just thrown up in the air. Do whatever you feel like doing. That's the time we're living in. Saints, be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged. Get a hold of something or another. This is real. It's still real. God's church is still a church. His people are still real. The truth is still being preached. Yes, it is. God has ministers today. There are few, but He got some.
Yes, amen.
But God still got some, and He'll always have some. He'll always have some. So let's you and I get a hold of something from the Lord that we can stand on. Something we can stand on. Depend on it. You told me when I got in trouble you'd come and help me out. But you didn't show up.
Yes.
Can't afford to have an experience like that. We're going to have a relationship with God. I heard last night. We're going to have a relationship with God.
Yes.
And when the persecutions come, we're going to stand anyway.
Yes.
When other folks fall by the wayside, I'm going to stand anyway.
Yes.
I'm going right on living for God, whether they do or not.
Amen.
If they don't want to measure up to the truth, I'm going to measure up anyway.
Amen.
I'm going to hold my standard whether they do or not.
Yes.
Amen. That's what it all boils down to.
Yes.
Boils right down to you and I personally standing for God. I just thinking yesterday, maybe talking a little bit. It's amazing what one man can do. He's talking about men that have gotten inflated. Thought about Hitler and people that these old what do you call them, dictators and things. They can just get a whole nation under their control. One man can do that. Well, if one man can have that much effect on the evil side, what could one man do today? One man, you and I personally, can have something to do about all this that's going on around the world. You might say, oh, I'm just a little old something and I can't do nothing. You can too. You can too. Right where you live, there's something you can do. Right where you work, there's something you can do. Right living right in a family where everybody's unsaved, there's something you can do. Right in your community, there's something you can do. Right in your congregation, there's something you can do. There's one thing you can do. You can be standing for truth. You can be standing for right. You can be an example. Yeah, you can be a testimony, a living testimony of what God can do and will do. And you can do something that will change the course of the whole thing. One good, saved, sanctified, settled, on fire saint of God can have more effect than a whole group of professors and hypocrites and all these other kind of things that come around us.
Yes.
But you and I need to get something personally.
Amen.
We're going to have something to stand on. We know we're going to be shaken off. We're going to be confused. We're going to be discouraged. We're going to run around with our heads hanging down. And we're going to find ourselves murmuring and complaining. And we're not very careful. We'll find ourselves talking more about negative things than we are positive things. I got a thought some years ago. The devil would like you and I to all look over that way. All of us look that way. But actually what's going on, what God's doing is over here. God's doing over here. He's working over here. God's blessing over here. God's dealing with souls over here. God's truth being preached over here. Church over here going on. Devil's got all of our eyes over here. Looking on all the troubles that's going on and getting our eyes on those who are falling and those who are failing and those troublemakers and those hypocrites and those professors and all those guys. Oh, just like we mentioned about Adam and Eve there in the garden. I thought how the devil God, he said, you can have all this tree. You can eat of every tree in the garden. But the one, as he mentioned the other night, And I thought, my, is that just like the devil today? You can have 10 good, saved, and sanctified saints sitting around that's living a life that's got their whole heart in this thing, and they're sincere about what they're doing, and they're working for the Lord, and they're serving God, and they're faithful in the congregation, they're faithful to live for God, and you can have 10 good saints sitting around that's a perfect example, and have one hypocrite sitting in the congregation, everybody looking at the hypocrite.
Yes.
Everybody looking at the one hypocrite.
Yes.
And 10 good solid saints sitting there.
Yes.
And they'll blame the whole church has failed them because that one hypocrite sitting there.
Yes.
The Lord help us today. Get a hold of something from the Lord.
Yes.
We need something to stand on.
Yes.
Something where we can stand. The Bible said, mark the perfect man. Yes. Behold the upright.
Yes.
In that man is peace.
Yes.
May the Lord help us today.
Yes.
This is no trick of the devil to get our minds. If we're not very careful, we'll just spend most of our time talking about the problems that surround us.
That's true. Yes.
We'll be spending our time discussing the situations around. The Lord help us right here now. We need to get something, get a hold of something another from the Lord. Something to stand on. I know there's times that things need to be discussed, and we do talk about things sometime or another, but the devil would just like to dominate our minds. And all we talk about and all we think about is negative things.
Yes.
Look at all them hypocrites. Look at all them old preachers that are not preaching the truth. Look at all this confusion around. And all the time the work of the Lord is going unattended to.
Yes.
All
right.
May the Lord help us.
Yes, Lord.
I know there's times to deal with things, and I know there's times we have to deal with things sometimes. I know there's things that come along, but oh, we don't want those things to distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be reaching out to the lost. We're supposed to be living examples for God. We're supposed to be carrying a burden for the work of the Lord. We're supposed to be witnessing for God. We're supposed to be supporting one another. May the Lord help us. When I called up there, you didn't hear. You didn't come and help me out. Thought about David over here when he was going out to meet the giant. 17th chapter of 1 Samuel here. And David come along and he was going out to meet the giant. You and I are meeting some giants today.
Yes.
We're meeting some giants. Ain't many midgets around anymore. They're all giants anymore. Devil got such a hold in the world today, and he got so many vessels to work through. He got so much control of men's minds and people's minds and people's lives that you and I don't face very many midgets now. They're mostly all giants.
Yes.
Mostly all giants that we're facing.
Yes.
Oh, unbelief on every hand. Sin abounding everywhere. Lukewarmness around. Compromise around. Fanaticism around. Sectism around. Divisions around. All troublemakers around. All kinds of things around. But we need something to stand on.
That's true.
So David was going out to face a giant. In the 38th verse it said, and Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Can't fight with somebody else's armor. David wasn't familiar with this armor. He had to have something he knew about.
Right.
I was out there watching the sheep out there. And I was a perfectionist on the slingshot.
Right.
While I was out there watching them sheep, I was practicing.
Right.
I can just see him taking that little old thing. He could probably hit a squirrel right between the eyes.
Yeah.
Just had it right down pinpointed where he can do that very thing. Oh, I don't know about this armor here. It's all strange, and I can imagine how he must have looked.
Saul was a big man, head higher than everybody else.
Yeah.
David was a little run of a fellow. Can't you see that big coat over there? Coat sleeve about a foot too long and hanging down below his knees. I forget how much that coat weighed, quite a bit. And trying to carry that old big sword around, and probably couldn't even have to drag it along. I can't work with that. I gotta have something that I know about. I gotta have something I can know, something I know about, something I can use, something I'm familiar with. Can you get somebody else's armor and fight with it? David said, I can't use this stuff. Well, Saul was a big man, and no doubt he had some shining armor, and no doubt he had a nice-looking coat of mail. And that thing weighed 300, I forgot what it was. It was a heavy thing. But I can't wear that. I couldn't. How am I going to fight any battles with this thing on? I'm weighted down. Some folks get so weighted down. They get so weighted down with what other people think. They can't fight their own battles. They get so weighted down with what's going on around about them. When the battle comes their way, here they are, all bogged down somewhere. What did they have a message? What about being all despondent and cast down and discouraged and running around there, my head down and murmuring, complaining, I can't find nobody to agree with me and all those things, and all of a sudden a giant appears on the scene.
Yes, that's right.
A giant appears on the scene. And I'm standing there like them children of Israel. I'm standing there trembling. Because I don't have nothing to stand on. I don't have anything to stand on. That's why the children of Israel stood there and trembled. You read about them. They were just up and down all the time. God would have mercy on them. They'd go out a whoring around again. And they loved fairs, and they loved festivals, and oh, they loved banqueting, and oh, they just loved parades, and they just spent a lot of time entertaining themselves. And they were the proud people and all those things, and they went along, and they loved to go to the shows, and they loved the festivals, and they loved the big feasts, and they loved all those kind of things. And then all of a sudden, here, a giant appeared on the scene.
Yes.
And they're standing there trembling in their tracks.
Yes.
Afraid to go out and meet him. Why? They didn't have anything to stand on.
That's so.
Their time had been all taken up on themselves. They'd been spending so much time on entertainment and attending the fairs and going to the banquets and all those kind of things, the personal things of the flesh. They'd been spending so much time on that they had nothing to stand on.
Yes.
I can't use this. I can't use this. Ain't you? I don't know nothing about it. I gotta have something I know about. David went down and put all that expensive. I'm sure Saul had the best he could buy. But he just cast that all aside and went down the creek and got him five little old rocks down there. I know what to do with it. I can use this. I'm familiar with this. I know what it does. I know what God can do. I had something to stand on. You come in me with a sword and a spear. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. The same God.
Amen.
That bear come down. I just went out there and got a hold of him. In the name of the Lord, I slew him. That lion come along. I just got a hold of his whiskers and gave him a good shaking and got rid of him. You uncircumcised Philistine, who are you to defy the armies of Israel?
Yes.
He had something to stand on.
Yes.
You and I got to have something to stand on.
Yes.
Got to be able to look back.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you this morning, Lord help us.
Yes.
Don't want to sound rude or harsh. But until we get to the place where we can conquer our little everyday problems.
Yes.
All right.
Until we get to the place to where we can conquer our feelings.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Let me change that. Our hurt feelings.
Yes.
We're all got feelings.
Yes.
But our little hurts.
Yes.
And what you said about me.
Yes.
and how you treated me. Well, who are you? Who are you? How, why should anybody treat you? You ain't nobody special. Why should you have any special attention? Until you and I, those are little lions. Those are lions. And those are bears. The giant ain't come yet. Giant ain't come yet. Oh, they talked about me. They made fun of me. I got up and testified, and they just sat there with their head down. Said, who does she think she is? Lord, help us today.
Yes, yes.
So I get offended, and I go, and I won't come back.
Yes,
they do that over home.
Yes.
I guess they do it in all congregations.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody do a little something to somebody, I ain't going to church no more.
All right.
Well, the church didn't do nothing. I never done nothing to you. I said, what do you want to stay home for? I didn't do anything. I ain't going to church.
Yes.
Quit going down. Just one person.
Yes.
Somebody said something. They ought not. Maybe they shouldn't have said it. But you're going to have. You and I are going to have to get to the place where what people said don't change us. And have something to stand on. But then that preacher, he didn't shake hands with me and you in this morning.
Yes, yes.
Passed me right by and didn't even look. I ain't going to church no more. I hear him say that over home sometimes.
Yes.
I ain't going to church no more. May the Lord help us.
Yes.
Little bears.
Yes.
And those are the little lions. You might think, my, that sound, a bear sound like pretty rough, but a bear ain't nothing like a giant 12-foot tall, 10 feet tall, with a big old spear out there that weighs 300 pounds or something, nothing. Ain't nothing. But you and I, until we can get a hold of God and conquer our little hurts and our little being offended and being carrying our feelings around on our elbows, so to speak, and just can't stand any insults or somebody kind of insulted me. They insulted me. Well, who am I? Lord, help us. Got to get rid of those things. We got to get victory over those, or when the giant comes, we'll not be able to stand. Got to be able to stand. Keep all the giants, all the bears, slain. Just as fast as they appear on the scene, in the name of the Lord, rise up and conquer. Every little old lion starts roaring. You know, a lion likes to roar, don't it? Every little old thing starts roaring. Confusion and doubts and unbelief and being offended and being hurt and picking and finding fault. And anytime I find myself guilty of that, I need to get and conquer that thing. Because that thing, when I come to face the giant and the last enemy to be conquered in death, the Bible says, we're going to face that one of these days. We're going to face it one of these days. You're going to wake up sometime, somebody is, and you're going to, the giant's going to appear on the scene. My wife, one night, laying in the bed, a few years back, said, Daddy, I found there's a knot. I got a knot in my breast. Just a little small thing. I said, well, don't worry about it. Lord, take care of it. It'll be all right. But then I went on to sleep. But she stayed awake all night about it, most of the night. Woke up next morning, she said, I didn't sleep very much. I said, why? Well, I was thinking about this thing. And what am I going to do about it? Well, I said, what did you say? She said, I'm going to trust the Lord.
Amen.
That's a giant.
Yes.
I'm going to trust the Lord.
Amen.
And she did trust the Lord.
Amen.
But she kept all the little bears laid on back and back. She was conscientious. She was sincere. She lived very careful before God. She kept all her restitution paid up. She loved the saints. She loved the Lord. She was a servant of God. And then when the giant came on the scene, she said, I'm going to trust the Lord. And she did trust him. I told her, I said, well, you know this, if it would be malignant and would turn out to be cancer, I said, do you know this could kill you? Yes, I know that. I said, well, you'll have to decide this for yourself.
Yes.
See, there comes a time when we're going to have to decide things for ourselves. See, we've got to have something to stand on ourselves.
Yeah.
I couldn't make that decision for her. I told her I wouldn't make it for her. I said, well, whatever you do, I'll stand with you. I would have to. I didn't think she was going to do anything except trust the Lord, but if she had done something else, I'd have still stood with her. I said, I'll stand with you. But she had to make that choice herself. She said, well, I'm going to trust the Lord. I said, well, if we're going to trust the Lord, let's just trust the Lord. We'll just pray the Lord's will be done. And she went right on through the whole thing. Never murmured. Never complained. Never flinched. Never drawed back. That's a giant. You can't do that if you've been living a shoddy life. Amen. If you've been living a careless life, if you've been living a loose life, you can't do that. You're not going to have nothing to stand on. You're going to have to be personally into her last night acquainted with God. You're going to have it settled. I believe in divine healing. Amen. You can't do it if you don't believe in divine healing. If you don't believe that Jesus died and by His stripes we were healed, if you don't believe that's a part of the atonement that God paid for us, you won't be able to do it.
That's true.
But I believe it. And you and I need to get a hold of that. We're going to have something to stand on. Have something to stand on.
Yes, Lord.
For me, I know some folks have more faith than others.
That's true.
But for me to go down and turn myself in to the doctor down there to operate on me or something or other, I have to go back and do some repenting before God.
Yes.
Personally, I'm talking about me.
Yes.
I've got too much light.
Yes.
I'm too convinced of what God can do.
Yes.
Got to have something to stand on, folks.
Yes, right.
You can't play, the brother said last night, you can't play this thing.
Yes,
we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to obey God's word. And we're going to stand when the giant comes along. We're going to have something to stand on.
Yes.
And it's going to be a personal stand you've taken for God.
Yes.
This is right. You got to know where you're at.
Yes.
If you don't believe this is the truth, you're not going to die for it. You won't die for it. If you just feel like this is the way you should live, you won't be able to make it.
That's true.
If you had just kind of chosen to kind of go this way, you won't be able to do it. You got to be convinced.
Yes.
This is right.
Yes. Amen.
This is right.
Amen.
I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe in the one true church of God.
Yes. Amen.
I believe in an old time Holy Ghost salvation.
Right. Amen.
Deliverance from sin and the consequences thereof.
Yes.
I believe in a second definite work of grace of a cleansing of the old carnal nature out of a man's life.
Yes.
I believe that those stripes were laid on his back for the healing of our body.
Yes.
I believe.
And I believe I was born into the church of God, and I believe that's the only one there is. Can't stand if you're in a state of confusion. Can't do it. You ought to have something to stand on. May the Lord bless us tonight. Paul said one time over here, he was going over to Rome. 20th chapter is it? Acts. Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know. You know, I'm getting up to the... I'm at the dying age now. You know, when you get up there in your late 60s or around 70, that's the dying age.
Yes.
If you don't believe that, you look at the obituaries in your newspaper sometimes.
Yes.
You see how many in there at about 69, about 70, 71. That's where we die. Most people die about that age. Oh, I know they're saying you're living a lot longer, and I'm going to live to... Most everybody now thinks you're going to live to be 80 years old. But when you get up there in your late 60s, you just about had it. You just about had it. And I know I'm wise enough and I'm smart enough to know that I'm going to face death pretty soon if Jesus don't come. I know that.
Yes.
And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know how I'm going to die.
That's right.
I don't know what if I'm going to have a disease or an accident or just grow old and fade away. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's true.
But I know I'm facing it.
Yes, that's right.
And I told one of my brothers up there last week, I said, it's a foolish thing for anybody to live in this world and know you're going to die and not prepare for it.
Yes.
That's a foolish thing. It's a foolish thing.
Yes.
Well, Jesus called that man a fool, didn't he?
Yes.
I told my brother, I said, it's a foolish thing to live here in the world. And they're all up there around 60 and 70. Foolish. It's a foolish thing for you and I to play with our soul.
Yes. So.
We know we're going to die. Maybe young, maybe old, I don't know. But when you get my age, I know I may never be back in California again. I don't play. I have any more plans much. I don't know. Maybe I got enough clothes to last me the rest of the way. I don't know. Maybe I got the only car I'll ever need. I don't know.
That's true.
See, when you get my age, you just don't make many plans. I know I'm facing that. You and all of you, I got news for you. You are too. And you may go before I do. You may go before I do. But Paul said, I'm going over there and I know there's things I'm going to face over there. And he said over there, the things that shall, I'm not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bond and afflictions abide me. But listen to what he said. But none of these things move me. None of them move me.
Amen.
I'm not only willing. He said, none of these things, neither count out my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. And Jesus testifying the gospel of the grace of God. Another place he said, one place, I'm not only willing to go there, but I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. Paul said, none of these things move me. And I got hold of that thought some time ago, and I said, Paul, it sounds to me like that you're boasting a little bit. Sounds to me like you're just kind of bragging a little bit. None of these things move me. You know, I've heard people testify like that, and then pretty soon something happened, they got moved.
That's true.
Amen.
Yes, true.
Peter done that, didn't he?
Yes.
Lord, I'll go all the way with you, Lord. Why, they can't do that to you. Why, Lord, I'll even die with you. But he didn't do it. He didn't carry it out, did he? But Paul comes out boldly, and he says, none of these things move me. I got to thinking about it, meditating about it. Lord, how could he say that? How could he say that with so much authority and so boldly? And a scripture too came to my mind in Malachi 3 and about 6. It said, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Paul, I believe, had got a hold of the fact that he knew the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And he knew the Lord would not change. I am the Lord, and I change not. And I can stand on that. I know that he has promised me that he will not allow me to be tempted above that I'm able to bear.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes.
I am the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I change not.
Yes.
And he knocked on his promises, or yea, amen. And I think maybe he might have got a hold of another scripture in Matthew 24 and about 35, I believe it is. Let me just read that little short scripture for you. It said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." We can stand and we can boldly say, none of these things move me. Because we've got a hold of the fact that the Lord don't change. People change. The world changes. The systems change. The conditions change. People change. Everything changes. But I am the Lord, and I change not. I've got the same power I've always had.
Yes.
The devil is still subject to me.
Amen.
The world and the earth and the fullness thereof is mine. I am the ruler. I am the king. Jesus came along there. When he came into the world, there was all kinds of religions then, who's like they are now. Maybe more now, maybe. But they was Pharisees, and they was hypocrites, and there was Sadducees, and they was idol worship and everything, and they was worshiping this and worshiping that. And Jesus come out there, in my way of expressing it, and stood in the midst of them and said, "I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth." You and I, there's a place in God that we can get a hold of God, and we can get a hold of His Word. His word shall never pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one cross T, not one period, not one comma, not one question mark will ever be changed. We can stand on what thus saith the word of God. When there's no feelings, when there's no encouragement, when other folks have misunderstood us, and when we've been cast out of the crowd, when our own family has let us down, when my own wife has turned against me. Job said, "Why, you talk like a foolish woman. Why don't you just curse for God and die?" No, like naked I came into the world, I brought none here, I'm taking none. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yes.
Even your wife turned against you. You can still stand on the word of God. Who was it? Job said one time, "I looked over here and I looked back there, looked on the right, looked on the left, behind me, not before me, and couldn't find him nowhere. But he knows the way I take."
Yes.
I stand upon the word of God. I stand upon the promises of God, knowing that they'll never change. Never will be moved. I can stand in the good times. I can stand in the bad times. I can stand when things are going good.
Yes.
I can stand when people are treating me good. I can stand when they're treating me bad.
Yes.
If I get a hold and stand upon the promises of God, upon the Word of God, go by emotions. Emotions run high. I remember a few years back we had an emotional preacher come around and preach among us a while, running on emotions. Lived on emotions. I remember one time he got in the pulpit and he was carrying on and running and he was getting raking the saints up and down and up and down. Excuse me. Raking them over up and down, getting after them for sitting there with their long faces and their heads hanging down and no praise, no shouting. Oh, he was really going to town. Just giving us all, really putting us over the coals. I tell you, the next day I seen that fellow, and he looked like the whole world was laying upon him. The whole body of it fell out. He didn't have nothing. And he had a long face. And he had a fallen countenance. Can't live on emotions.
No.
Emotions are good. We're part of emotions sometimes. It's good to shout and praise the Lord once in a while. When the Lord blesses, when the Lord follows him. Can't live on that. Can't stand on that. Emotionalism is dangerous. Emotional person is dangerous. Highly emotional. Especially somebody trying to lead. Some of them old generals back there in the war and get so carried away and they get so emotional they get right out there. Remember when they, the invasion of France there back there in 44, they had one old officer there and got right up and just walking down the beaches right out there in the open. Got emotional. An emotional leader can be real dangerous.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
But we stand upon the Word of God, upon the promises of the Lord. I am the Lord and I change not. And he said, his word shall never fail. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, let me read that. I believe that's where it's at. For all, listen, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God are yea and amen. I am the Lord, and I change not. His word shall never pass away.
Yes.
I believe in my heart that's what Paul got a hold of.
Yes.
I believe that that's why he could boldly say, none of these things move me. And when you and I can get to the place to where we can have something to stand. I don't mean something. We can stand. After you've done all to stand, stand. What are we going to stand on? Not going to stand on the times we're living in. Not going to stand on what people do or think or say. Not going to stand on my feelings and my emotions. But I'm going to stand on the promises of the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm going to stand on the Lord. What's the old song said? I have anchored my soul in the haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. What's the other old song said? I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. No, we're not boasting when we say that. We're not boasting. We have just got a hope and we have built our life on thus saith the word of God. We have got a hold of the promises of God. We have got a personal relationship with God. We know where we stand. We know who we are. We know where we're going. We know where we came from. We're not confused. We're not confused. I'm not confused. I know where I'm at. I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Well, there's only two places to go. How can we? That's not boasting. We've simply found something to stand on. something to stand on, something to stand on. And the only thing that you and I can stand on is thus saith the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. No other foundation can any man lay. What's that little song children sang? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand.
Yes.
And the rain come tumbling down.
Yeah.
Oh, he that heareth my word and doeth them, I'll like him unto a man that built his house on the rock.
Yes.
And the floods came.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And the winds blew. And it beat vehemently. That means with a great force upon that house, and it stood.
Yes.
It stood. May the Lord bless us today. I want to leave this message with you. It ain't something I brought out. It's just something the Lord gave me last night. It's nothing new. I mean, no new scriptures or anything. But I believe the Lord wanted you folks to hear this today.
Amen.
And I believe He wanted me to hear it too. We're living in this shaping time.
Yes.
And I'd like to urge you, dear saints, to just build your life on the Word of God. Build your life on the promises of God.
Yes.
And stand right where you're at in your congregation, your congregation. Don't care how much confusion there is around. Stand. Stand for right. Stand for truth. Live the life. And live the truth. Right where we're at. And that'll be a great force against the powers of darkness. That'll keep the darkness pushed back. One little light. Old Brother McCoy, our first pastor we had, used to say, the darker the place, the brighter the light.
Yes.
You take a real dark place and just track a little old match and it just flares up.
Yes.
Anybody let their light shine when there's a lot of light around.
Yes.
But right in that very darkest place, one little spark, one little light will just glow out and make a shadow on everybody around about us. Let's get a hold of this morning. Let's, us saints, get a hold of the Word of God. Get a hold of the promises of God.
Yes.
And live it out right where you live. Right in your congregation. You live it. Standing on the Word of God. Standing on. Somebody used to say, well, what about this? What about that? Well, sounds reasonable. Sounds good. But it ain't supported by the Word of God.
Amen.
If it isn't supported, I don't care how good you feel. I don't care what kind of dream you have. I don't care how you might feel about it. If it ain't supported by the Word of God, you can't stand on it.
Amen.
Can't stand on it. When God told me one time, He looked me right in the eye, and I was preaching on two works of grace, being saved, sanctified. He looked me right in the eye, and He said, right over on the hill, I got saved and sanctified at the same time. And I looked Him right in the eye, and I said, no, you didn't. He said, no, you didn't. And He was defiant about it. He was trying to convince me. And I said, no, you didn't. See, we can stand on the Word.
Yes.
Stand on the Word. You can stand on, you can give the devil. What did Jesus say? It's written.
Yes.
It's written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He turned to the Word, didn't he?
Amen.
What was written. And regardless of feelings or emotions or the trend of the times or the tide of emotions and the tidal waves and the confusion and the upheaval and the distress and all the things about it, His Word still standing there just like it always been.
That's so.
May God bless us today. You pray for me. I've been praying lately, mentioned maybe last night. I've been praying the Lord will help me to live what I preach.
Yes.
I don't want to preach one thing, live something else. And we need to live what we testify to.
That's true.
There ever was a time the church should be the church. It must be today.
Amen.
Must be today. Something to stand on.
Yes.
Something to stand on. But we have it.
Amen.
We have it. We have something to stand on. May the Lord bless you.